single or attached. We can feel lost in love. Why is it that some people seem so happy in their relationships while others feel like they can't find that special person? Or if they are in a relationship, they feel that something isn't quite right. Welcome to Conscious Soulmates with Susan Ortolano. Susan and her guests are here to help you improve communication, intimacy, and obtain a higher level of relationship mastery so you may also find love or reignite love again in your relationship. Now, here's your host, Susan Ortolano.
And welcome to Conscious Soulmates. I'm Susan Ortolano, your host, and today we are here live in Phoenix, Arizona from the Voice America studio, and we're going to get you some more relationship education in for you so you too can live your own great love story. Now, today's show is called Heavenly Love, and it is about spirituality, personal growth, and how relationship is a unique catalyst to our own spiritual growth and evolution. We're also going to be talking about love and relationship at the end of life stage, which is a sad topic, I understand, but also how grief and loss of a partner affects people, but how spirituality can help. And today I have my most special guest, and it is my husband, Rick Ortolano, and we're going to meet him in a bit. But first, as always, I have a story. Now, I know I've shared a few things about how Rick and I met in previous shows, and we both created visions. I know I've talked about visions before. We created visions of our ideal partner, and we both used spiritual and personal growth techniques to really clear out some of the old stories, old beliefs, old programming about why we couldn't have our ideal relationship. So we both really planted the seeds. We tended the soil. We watered, as I always talked about, and when we talked about visioning. We nurtured our intention, and then we met. And we met in grad school, and we went to grad school a little later in life, and we became friends first. But how some of the spirituality of this work is a bit of a funny story that I'm going to tell you. So I mentioned during my first episode, and I mentioned at the end of every episode, that I also do work as a clairvoyant. And I do clairvoyant readings for people in addition to relationship coaching. So Rick and I had become dear friends in grad school, and he asked if I would do a quick reading as he wanted to know when he would meet the love of his life and get remarried, because he had been married before. And it had been several years since his divorce, and while he had had a couple of relationships in between, he felt very curious and very ready to meet his ideal partner. Now, a friend of mine was there with us, so there was somebody actually witnessing this whole process, but I did start to do the reading for him, as I do for other people, and it was December of the year 2000, and he didn't just want to know if and when he would be married again. He wanted to know what I picked up about her. And as I tuned in, I said to him that, gosh, I think she's in our grad school program. And I paused a minute because I was kind of going around the grad school classroom wondering who it could possibly be, but I couldn't get a hit on anyone. So I just continued on with the reading. So I said, I think she's about my age. She's really intuitive, kind of creative, with a great sense of humor. And he would know within a month or two who it would be, and they would be in a relationship by March of 2001. And I felt that her name started with an S or a C, some kind of sound, and we just decided her name was Cindy, just to kind of make up a name. So some of you might be already getting the picture of where this is headed, but at the time, I had absolutely no idea. But after some time passed, I realized that, oh my gosh, I had feelings for this guy beyond friendship. And I certainly did not want him to meet that Cindy girl that I had described in the reading. But I didn't feel right saying anything about how I really felt about him. And he had made no indication that he felt anything more than just a friendship for me. And I just did not want to rock the friendship boat, nor did I want to feel rejected. But weeks later, out of the blue, I got this surprise email from him. And he confessed his deep and loving feelings for me and how much he loved me. And I was completely stunned and, of course, elated at the same time. And over the, you know, next few weeks, we talked about relationship and what it would be like with us, because we wanted to be sure that our ideal visions or ideal scenes were a match. And I was still concerned about this Cindy person. And at this point, I was like, I do not want him to meet this Cindy person. But the next month, February, came along, and Rick got a little bit nervous, and he backed off for a little while, and I thought, oh my God, this Cindy person's going to come along any minute. So I was a little distraught, and I thought, oh, they certainly will be together by the beginning of March. So I just kind of sucked it up and went along with the friendship and all that kind of stuff, and we, you know, reestablished our friendship for a while, and then March came along. And I was just clearing the energy from a relationship that I had been out of, and I was kind of nervous to jump into another one. And certainly, I was thinking he was still going to meet this Cindy woman. But then he made a statement to me, and he said, you know, he goes, I have all this love for you, and I don't know what to do with it. And if we were just going to be friends, you know, that love would never get realized. So we mutually talked about it, and we decided to take a leap of faith. We became a couple, and it turns out I was Cindy. I was that girl that I was describing to him during the reading that I had done in December, and I absolutely had no idea that it was, in fact, me. So I felt it was a cosmic joke that spirit, the universe, beingness, the higher power, whatever you want to call it, you know, played on me because I didn't get the information. I'm sitting here doing a reading for him and about me, not even having an idea that it was about me. So Rick did find his next wife, just as I had predicted. But again, it took a while before I knew I was talking about myself. So divine timing, as I like to call it, is such a critical piece of finding great love in your life. And even the best intuitives around can't always tell when, like I couldn't tell when, you know, and certainly we don't always know when because of divine timing. Divine timing is the timing of the universe, as I like to call it. And, you know, if I had gotten that piece of information while I was doing the reading, I don't know how things would have unfolded. Maybe we weren't ready to know. Maybe I wasn't ready to know that information. But we just had this deep spiritual connection, and I knew it was something that I had never experienced before. And we just had a knowingness that we were spiritually guided to be together. So 2 months later, we literally ran to Vegas and we eloped. And in 2 days from today, we'll be celebrating 13 years of an amazing marriage. So do I recommend that everybody elope after just a couple months? No. But people always just have to do what they feel right. And we just knew that it felt right. So we've had this amazing spiritual experience coming together, and we were divinely guided to one another. But what does that actually mean? What is divine guidance? What is spirituality? What am I talking about? And what does it have to do with relationship? Well, from our point of view, we're going to get to, you know, hear all about it. But I want to introduce you to the best man I know, my amazing husband, Rick Ortolano. Rick has been a spiritual seeker his entire life. He's explored many different spiritual paths, some that are well-known and more traditional, and some that are less well-known. He even lived on a spiritual ashram for about 18 months. And he works professionally as a chaplain and spiritual counselor for hospice, as well as a relationship coach. And he has degrees in theology, spiritual psychology, education, and philosophy. So he's also clinically trained in pastoral education and bereavement counseling. So welcome to my amazing husband, Rick, to the show.
Well, thank you, Susan.
I'm excited to have you.
And it's so great to be here.
Great. So I, you know, wanted to have you on, certainly, you know, to kind of share our story, but also because you're such an expert in spirituality that I just thought, you know, your expertise would be very, very well valued. So how would you define spirituality?
Well, just before we do that, I just want to say, be careful when you ask for a clairvoyant reading.
<That's>
you never
so true.
Know where it's going to lead you.
That's right.
But I'm certainly happy that mine turned out the way it did.
Excellent.
Well, I think one of the things I'd like to talk about just to start is to talk about the difference between religion and spirituality.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Because things have changed, especially in the last 40, 50 years in the whole realm of spirituality in terms of how people practice their spirituality, what that means to them, how it impacts and affects their lives. Traditionally, you know, for so long, spirituality was kind of codified in a religion. And religion is primarily a structure. So it's very highly structured. It's organized. There are a lot of religions have dogmas. Mm-hmm. By dogma, I mean it's strict writings on, about what you believe and how you practice and what you do. And also, a lot of religions tend to be hierarchical, which means, you know, in the structure, there are people who are kind of in charge, and then it goes down. The greatest example of that is the Catholic Church, with the Pope, the, you know, bishops, the cardinals, and so on. And then there's, so spirituality used to be pretty much a part of a traditional organized religion. Probably in the last 40 or 50 years, spirituality began to break out, where people would not really feel fulfilled or find any meaning in those particular religions. So people began to discover or go on a journey for themselves. So so spirituality became much more of a free, kind of open way of seeking something greater than yourself. That's really the essence of spirituality. We're seeking something greater than ourselves and finding a way of having a relationship with that greater sense of self, so that we could feel maybe more connected. Or I guess the greatest way, the way to really express it, is that greater sense of self is like this oneness or God or something that we connect with that makes us feel more fulfilled. I think the simplest way to talk about that is in the Judeo-Christian tradition. It basically says, you know, love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and Jesus, who was a Jew, of course, he said to his followers, you know, if you take all the laws and narrow them down to just the simplest basics, it is that, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So I like to simplify spirituality by just saying spirituality is really about love with a capital L.
That's great. I love that. And we're going to be talking about that more, but we're going to push the pause button for a minute because it is time for a commercial break. So this is Conscious Soulmates. I'm Susan Ortolano here with my awesome guest, my beloved, my husband, Rick Ortolano. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about spirituality and get into how it impacts relationships. So sit back, relax, and we will be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you single and wondering why you haven't met the right partner? Wondering if you ever will? Are you in a relationship or marriage that just isn't going well and you're starting to panic? Or are you divorced and wondering what it really takes to finally have relationship success? For guidance at any stage, meet intuitive relationship coach, Susan Ortolano. Using her intuitive skills, along with her extensive coach training, she will teach you the skills and tools to guide you to prepare for, live, and master the art of successful relationships. Through her private coaching sessions and virtual classes, you will learn her secrets to living your own great love story. Visit her website, www.ConsciousSoulmates.com. Take the quiz that best fits your relationship status and get your free 10-session e-course to start learning the skills to having a successful relationship now. Susan has a huge heart for guiding others and looks forward to guiding you to create and live the great love story you have been yearning for.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're listening to Conscious Soulmates with your host, Susan Ortolano. To reach the show today, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. If you're feeling too shy to call, Susan would love to hear from you via email to Susan at ConsciousSoulmates.com. Now back to this week's program.
And welcome back to Conscious Soulmates. I'm Susan Orlano, your host. And today our show is called Heavenly Love. And it's all about spirituality and its impact on relationship. And I'm here with an expert hospice chaplain, spiritual counselor and relationship coach, and expert husband, my husband, Rick Ortolano. And before the break, we were talking about the differences between spirituality and religion and how spirituality has become a lot more mainstream. And I wanted to know, Rick, if you wanted to share a little bit more about that, what we were talking about.
Yeah, just one thing I want to add to that is there's a new term that's come out recently, and I just heard of it recently, and it's called, it's a word, and it's called the nuns, but it's N-O-N-E-S, mm-hmm. as opposed to nuns, like, you know, nuns in the church.
Traditional, yeah.
Yes, but the nuns are they're people who are not affiliated with any particular religion, any particular faith. They just kind of develop their own spirituality, you know, however they do that, by taking bits and pieces from, you know, all kinds of existing faiths and religions, or however they do it. But to find meaning in their life, to find meaning and a deep sense of, as I said before, that sense of connection to something greater than ourselves. So, yeah, and I just wanted to say that that's, you're going to hear that term more and more in the whole realm of spirituality.
Yeah, and spirituality mm-hmm. can be so many different things, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, they like to joke and say the bedside Baptist kind of thing and studying on their own, or whether it's walking in nature or some of the other things that may bring a sense of peace and connection to people. So the nuns, so to speak, the N-O-N-E-S, can really be about all kinds of different things, yeah?
Sure. Oh, yes. Yeah. Right.
Definitely. Well, I mentioned earlier about how I felt, you know, divine guidance, and I wanted you to share a little bit about how you would describe divine guidance.
Yeah, and I think that's key, especially when we're talking about how we, you know, apply all this to relationships. How do you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, how do you know when you're being guided, or how do you know when, you know, you have this sense of direction?
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
It could be complicated, but it's really, again, like I like to say, I like to keep things simple. And I think the simplest way of looking at things and approaching things, especially in the realm of spirituality, is probably the most practical and also the easiest. And, of course, I say this after being a seeker for 50-some years of my life, I learned to just kind of whittle things down to the simplest components. Really, it's divine guidance is really learning to listen. And it's really learning to listen to that still, quiet, small voice within yourself. It's that small voice that is in with all of us. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so it's in the stillness, it's in the quiet, it's in taking the time to just get out of the busyness of the day, sit and be quiet, and just listen. And as we listen, we begin to hear the guidance. I don't mean you don't hear an audible voice, although maybe sometimes people do. You know, it's not like God's going to come and speak in your ear.
There's no burning bush or anything.
No, nothing like that. But there is a sense, there's an inner sense of knowing. There's an inner sense of clarity. And when you're getting divine guidance, that's the key thing to focus on, is the sense of clarity, the sense of knowing, the sense of just openness. And there's a certain freedom in it, too. Whereas when our mind is going, and this is where sometimes we try to get our guidance from, we try to think our way through it. Like the mind just is like, you know, the term they use is monkey mind. It mm-hmm. just, you know, the mind keeps going quickly, jumping all over the place from this to that. And it's kind of out of that sense of stillness. We need to be in that sense of stillness to hear the
divine guidance. Yeah, and outside of the monkey mind, because the monkey mind tends to have a negative viewpoint. It'll bring up the fear and,
yes.
you know, that kind of stuff. And that's not divine guidance.
Exactly.
The fear.
And also with divine guidance will come a sense of peace.
Yes,
there'll
most
be peace
definitely, yeah. Well, when I married you, I had a lot of peace. So that was, that. I knew that was divine guidance right there. So how would you say spirituality impacts and benefits relationships and marriages? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay, yeah. There's a lot of ways, really, you know, and even, you know, even like with more traditional religious relationships and things like that. Let's say, for instance, you find that, like, more conservative kinds of religions, people will recommend that you marry somebody who is of the same belief, the same faith. Well, that makes sense, of course, because you have something right there, you have something that you share together, and that's important. But things like that can also be, if somebody's really connected to their faith, and let's say one person in the relationship is, the other person isn't, well, that could almost be a source of problems, you know, because one person might believe a certain way and believe the other person should behave or do things a certain way, and they don't really want to do that. And then it just causes conflict in the relationship. So spirituality can help, and it can also be, you know, a source of conflict.
Right.
Which is, again, I always like to go back and say, the essence of spirituality is love, capital L love. So if your spirituality is bringing love into the relationship, that's the significant thing to look for. You know, it's about love, it's about compassion and caring and joy. And so at the core of all that is that love that I'm talking about. And so it's about giving. It's about accepting. This is key. It's That's about love and accepting. About accepting your significant other as they are. This is called unconditional love. And most religions, most spiritualities will emphasize that whole sense of unconditional love, because it's the whole sense that God is unconditional love. That greater sense of, I was talking about something greater than ourselves, is in itself, in essence, unconditional love. So if our spirituality can bring that into the relationship, then one partner is not trying to condemn or try to change the other person to be what they think they should be. Unconditional love means you accept the other person just as they are. You can see, probably without even going into detail, how this would benefit a relationship.
Absolutely, yeah. And I know you had an experience really on in our marriage as you were vehemently seeking, you know, more spiritual connection with God, and I would love for you to share that.
Yeah, I was sitting, one morning I was sitting in meditation, and while I was in that particular meditation, I was asking God, or my sense of God, I really want to learn to love you more, just as I said before. It's loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. And so I was just asking about that, you know, or just expressing that was my intention, that was my feeling. And as I was sitting in the meditation, I was sitting in the quiet stillness and just waiting, just sitting quietly. And all of a sudden, what came to me you were sitting in the other room, mm-hmm. and what came to me was, there she is, love me. And it was like, I got it. That just was such an awakening for me, because it made me realize that loving God is not some esoteric thing. It's not something in the sky. It's about loving what's right in front of you. You know, loving God is like loving what is right in front of you. And there's different ways to see that. So one way to look at it is, everybody has the spark of God within them. We're all divine beings. And so as we learn to love those in front of us, we are automatically loving God. So, and that was a significant shift in my understanding of relationships, and changed how I look at relationships, and especially how I look at my relationship with you.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's all about unconditional love. So as long as I'm loving you as you are, and it doesn't mean like sometimes you can't notice something in somebody and you might want to point it out, but it's not I'm only going to love you if you change kind of thing.
Right.
It's like sometimes you might point things out to your significant other in a way that's going to help them,
yeah.
you know, to be to help them in their own life.
And to be of service.
And to be
to
of
your
service.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. And that was a really profound experience when you shared it with me. Now, I know spiritual teacher and author Gary Zukav, who I absolutely love, talks about the concept of relationship as an opportunity for spiritual and personal growth. So how can marriages evolve and grow through that spiritual personal growth that Gary talks about?
Okay. Well, it comes back again to what we were just talking about in terms of, you know, learning unconditional love. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you know, when relationships start, as you know, I know you talked about this in previous shows.
Yeah.
When relationships begin, it's the honeymoon.
Yeah, I call it the foo-foo stage.
The
yeah.
foo-foo stage, yeah. Yes. You know, like everything's wonderful, everything's beautiful, you know. You want to be with each other all the time. You want to talk on the phone. You're constantly thinking of each other, you know, and there's just this beautiful, romantic honeymoon type of sense of relating to each other. You know, and then after a certain amount of time, usually about 6 months or so down the road, well, all that kind of starts to fade away. And then people go, oh, my God, look, what's going on? And then, you know, like they call it, you know, well, the stuff hits the fan. You know, it's kind of like the person that you were so in love with, that you were so gaga over, all of a sudden does something and you get triggered. And something comes up in you and you're going, oh, my God, I can't believe he or she said that, or I can't believe, you know, that they did that particular thing. Well, the beauty of all this, I think, from the spiritual side is, first of all, I think that we tend to attract people into our lives who are going to bring our stuff up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It happens in every relationship. It's going to happen to everybody. And it's just part of the normal human experience. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? So the question is, what do you do with that? Right. Well, I know, as you talked about before in your show, is that it's important that we take personal responsibility for that.
Absolutely.
For the thing that comes up in us. So as I do that, I look, so, you know, let's say you say something and it triggers something in me. I go and I look inside myself. Instead of saying, oh, Susan, you did that, it's your fault, I'm blaming you, I go inside and I say, so what is it inside of me that got triggered? And as I do that, it could be all kinds of things, but as I sit with it, as I discover it, here's part of the spiritual part of all of this, is if you can sit with something, if you can just be with it, accept it as it is, so the particular feeling that comes up, the negative feeling or the story, yeah, what all that comes up, just sit and be with it, that in itself is healing. There's a psychologist from the 60s, his name was Fritz Perls, who started Gestalt therapy, and in his writings, one time I was reading one of his books, and what stood out clearly for me was, he said, awareness in itself is healing. So if you just sit with something, become aware of it, let it be present, in a way, that's a way of just loving it. And we're getting back to the spiritual part of the loving.
Yeah.
And you're loving yourself as you love those parts in yourself. And the beautiful part about that is it begins to release. It begins to let go. It begins to heal. And then you've taken responsibility for your own feelings. So, the more we clear those things in our lives, the more we get to the core of ourselves, which is that love, capital L, that I was talking about. Because each of us in our core is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, compassion, caring.
Yeah.
It's just that it gets covered over by all the garbage.
Yeah, and I like to call it the gunkity gunk. So it's like the more that we release the gunkity gunk or old stories, and a lot of our stories came in before our partner did. So it was already living inside of us, those triggers, you know, and then mm-hmm. somebody just comes along, says boo, and then all of a sudden something gets triggered. So it's a very important thing to know, is to take that ownership. And we've talked about that. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that, because we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to continue on with this discussion. And we're also going to look at how spirituality can help during the latter stages of life with couples. So this is Susan Ortolano. I'm here with my amazing husband, Rick Ortolano, on Conscious Soulmates on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. And we will be right back.
What makes the most successful people tick? Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you single and wondering why you haven't met the right partner? Wondering if you ever will? Are you in a relationship or marriage that just isn't going well and you're starting to panic? Or are you divorced and wondering what it really takes to finally have relationship success? For guidance at any stage, meet intuitive relationship coach, Susan Ortolano. Using her intuitive skills, along with her extensive coach training, she will teach you the skills and tools to guide you to prepare for, live, and master the art of successful relationships. Through her private coaching sessions and virtual classes, you will learn her secrets to living your own great love story. Visit her website, www.ConsciousSoulmates.com. Take the quiz that best fits your relationship status and get your free 10-session e-course to start learning the skills to having a successful relationship now. Susan has a huge heart for guiding others and looks forward to guiding you to create and live the great love story you have been yearning for.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're listening to Conscious Soulmates with your host, Susan Ortolano. To reach the show today, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. If you're feeling too shy to call, Susan would love to hear from you via email to susan@consciousoulmates.com. Now back to this week's program.
And welcome back to Conscious Soulmates. I'm Susan Ortolano, your host, and today our topic is called Heavenly Love. And I'm here with my heavenly love, my spiritual expert husband, Rick Ortolano. And before the break, we were talking about the impact spirituality has on relationship and marriages, how it can benefit. And I know that there's more that Rick would like to share about that. So go ahead, Rick.
Okay. Just before I do, you said spiritual expert husband.
Yes.
Is that spiritual expert or expert husband?
I'll go with expert husband okay. And spiritual expert. How's that?
All right. Well, I'll take them both.
Okay, good.
So I just wanted to add to that, you know, we were talking about, you know, how to go inward and how when things get triggered for you in a relationship, how you can go in, be with that, and then release it, let it go, or heal it. So, and the interesting thing about that is when you do that, it may come up again, and it may come up again and again, but eventually if you keep doing it, eventually it does heal and go, and you don't get triggered by those things anymore.
Right.
And the beauty of it is you don't, it's just, it's not that you don't get triggered anymore by your spouse or your partner or your significant other. You won't get triggered by that anymore by anybody.
By anybody,
and,
exactly.
And so it really brings you to a sense of freedom. And the thing about this too is you don't have to be a spiritual person to do this. It's by nature, it's a spiritual act, you know. And so you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in anything above yourself. If you can learn to just be with these things that come up in yourself and let them heal. It's just automatically going to give you a better relationship and a closer, more loving, caring relationship.
Absolutely. And I know we talk about it kind of like a tissue box where it's sort mm-hmm. of like, you know, the tissue pops up, and I've talked about this on the show before, and you be with it or welcome it or be aware of it. And I talk about the Sedona method a lot, and it's like that's a technique that'll help you actually, you know, throw the tissue out kind of thing, but then the next one pops up. So you were talking about how things kind of come up or seemingly come up over and over again. Well, once you release one tissue, that tissue's gone forever, but the next layer of it mm-hmm. might come up. And
right.
then eventually your box is a little emptier, you're feeling more loving, you're feeling more compassionate, you're more connected to your partner because you've got more space inside to really presence that capital L for love that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Right.
So thank you for sharing that. You know, I also wanted to speak about the work that you do in spiritual counseling for hospice as a chaplain and certainly relationship coaching. But, you know, I want to have people know a little bit more about hospice and what happens with couples during this stage of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me start out by just talking a little bit about what hospice is.
Yeah.
Hospice is primarily, it's end-of-life care. And it focuses on comfort care. And what that means is a doctor may determine that there is no more aggressive treatment or that they feel aggressive treatment would not be helpful anymore. And so they will recommend hospice, and the focus is comfort care for quality of life. So in that stage of somebody's life, the focus is on keeping the person comfortable. But also in hospice, there is a team. And there's a doctor, there's doctors, there's nurses, there's social workers, spiritual counselors, home health aides who help with bathing and things like that. And so as the team works with the patient and family to try to, of course, get them physically comfortable, but also to help to bring more support and also more peace into the process as much as possible. And so that's in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it, but so we find that it's very obviously the whole process is very difficult,
yeah.
And we find that as we work with people, especially with, you know, families, there's this complete sense of loss, and the grief around the loss begins usually right in the beginning of the hospice experience, because we call it anticipatory grief. And so people begin grieving, you know, they begin grieving even before the person transitions. So one of the ways spirituality can help is, first of all, by helping somebody's sense of spirituality, whatever that may be, that being connected to that larger, bigger self could bring a sense of comfort and a sense of peace to people. So they could realize that there's different ways that this manifests for depending on your spirituality. So people can see this as well, this is part of God's plan. And so if that's the path of your faith and the way it works, then it helps you to come into a better sense of acceptance. So if we can see it as, so this is the part of the plan for me, part of the plan for my family, it helps to bring them to a better sense of acceptance. Spirituality, just in general, as I was talking before, it is love and acceptance. And so if that's part of what your spirituality is, and part of what we try to help to bring to people in this time is the whole area of acceptance. Because we find that people go through different stages. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talked about this. You know, there's five stages that you go through. You know, I don't focus on that too much in my work, but, you know, there's anger. People go through a period of anger. But the final one is acceptance, and we try to help people to get to that place of acceptance. And then one thing that I find that is really important for every family and every patient in this particular time is the whole idea of love. You know, one thing I've learned, and I'm so grateful for this, that I've learned in doing this work, is that in the last days, months, weeks of somebody's life, the only thing that matters is love. You know, nobody, whenever I talk to families or even when I talk to patients, it's not about how much money I made. It wasn't about the job I had. It wasn't what kind of car I drove, how beautiful my house was. Although they can talk about those things as important things in their life, but that's not the focus. The focus is people want to know that they're loved. They want to know if they believe in God. They want to know they're loved by God. They want to know they're loved by their spouse, yeah, by their family, and they want to be surrounded by that love.
Absolutely.
And so part of our job is to help people to have that experience,
right,
of being surrounded by that love and knowing that love is really the essence of it all.
And I know one of the messages that you guys really talk about is, you know, during that time, a lot of people seem to focus on the love, but why wait?
Exactly. And I think that's what I've kind of done for myself with that learning from my patients and families, is that, you know, I don't want to wait till that time in my life till I realize that love is the most important thing. I want to do that. I just want to do it now.
Right. You know? Well, you're really good at it, so I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, I know this is really a hard topic for so many people. What would you say to somebody who's lost their spouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, because as we're talking about, you know, we're getting into grief counseling and grief facilitation. Then it kind of depends on where they are in the stage. You know, in the beginning stages, the message to people is first of all, really, you just want to be a good listener. You know, because like everything else, and this comes back, this really is foundational for relationships. People want to know that they're heard and that they're understood. And the greatest gift you can give to somebody through their grief is just listen. Just be present with them and listen and let them speak their feelings or whatever they're doing. And then just encourage them to accept their feelings and how they're feeling about, you know, their loss.
Yeah.
Very, very overwhelming, these feelings of grief. So just to be able to be present with somebody to support them in their, you know, in their loss, in that particular stage of grief is essential. It's really important. And then, you know, and then as time goes on, before I say that, I'll say the key here is in doing that is going to help you to go through the grief process, because the process is going to happen. You know, there's no stopping it. It's going to be there. But the more you can go with it, and by go with it, I mean just accept what's coming up for you, your feelings. You know, if you're feeling sad and you need to cry and you need to You know, and people have all kinds of expressions of that. It depends on the person. Some people are just very quiet and they just want to be quiet. That's how they deal with their grief. Some people like to talk and they're very talkative. So we try to be supportive of being with the person in whatever their need is for expressing their grief.
Right.
And so that helps people to heal. And then as they learn to be present with their own feelings and the healing process happens, as the grief process continues, then people start to come to more of a feeling of acceptance
for themselves yeah.
and for the loss, and can then begin, as time goes on, to reintegrate themselves back into life.
Yeah. And how would you say that spirituality can help somebody with that loss?
Yeah.
Spirituality itself.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, some people find great comfort in just meditating. And sometimes one way of meditating is just being able to sit quietly with whatever's present for you.
Yeah.
Some people find it through prayer, you know. And again, I'll just say as I think is the most essential thing is to just surround yourself with people who really love you and care about you.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And so someone's own spirituality could help them, you know, just facilitate themselves through the process, especially just knowing that, you know, if your sense of God or your sense of that greater essence is love, and that love is present with you. That can certainly help you through the process.
Most definitely. And I know, you know, being surrounded by community, like you said, it's so important for people going through that kind of loss, especially a spouse. And I know we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg on this particular topic, and it's not an easy topic to talk about at all. And certainly even the many facets of spirituality, how it affects relationship and in all stages of relationship, we could do like 5 shows mm-hmm. on it. But this is just the tip of the iceberg for today. And right now we're going to take another commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we are going to talk a little bit more about it and take a couple of email questions as well. So this is Susan Ortolano, your host. This is Conscious Soulmates. I'm here with my spiritual expert and expert husband, Rick Ortolano, and we will be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you single and wondering why you haven't met the right partner? Wondering if you ever will? Are you in a relationship or marriage that just isn't going well and you're starting to panic? Or are you divorced and wondering what it really takes to finally have relationship success? For guidance at any stage, meet intuitive relationship coach, Susan Ortolano. Using her intuitive skills, along with her extensive coach training, she will teach you the skills and tools to guide you to prepare for, live, and master the art of successful relationships. Through her private coaching sessions and virtual classes, you will learn her secrets to living your own great love story. Visit her website, www.ConsciousSoulmates.com. Take the quiz that best fits your relationship status and get your free 10-session e-course to start learning the skills to having a successful relationship now. Susan has a huge heart for guiding others and looks forward to guiding you to create and live the great love story you have been yearning for.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Conscious Soulmates with your host, Susan Ortolano. To reach the show today, please call us at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. If you're feeling too shy to call, Susan would love to hear from you via email to susan@consciousoulmates.com. Now back to this week's program.
And welcome back to Conscious Soulmates. I'm Susan Ortolano, your host. And our topic today is called Heavenly Love. And it's all about spirituality, relationships, and even the heavenly love meaning of end of life and grief and some of those sad topics. But I'm here with my expert husband, who is a hospice chaplain. He's also a relationship coach, and he's an expert husband on top of that. So his name is Rick Ortolano. And before the break, we were talking about how spirituality can help somebody who's lost their partner, who's lost that loved one, that special person. And I know, Rick, you wanted to share more about community and how community can really support that person.
Yes. If you happen to be in a particular religious community or, you know, spiritual community, that can be very helpful because, first of all, there's so much you have in common with people there because just on how you share your faith and your beliefs, and to be able to just, you know, be embraced by that community could be very helpful and very healing. But it doesn't have to be a spiritual community. It could be a community of friends. It could be a community of neighbors. It could be, you know, just a community of people who could embrace you, hold you through that experience, and support you through it. That could be a very, very healing healing thing.
Most definitely. Yeah. And I think it's so important, you know, for people to have community while they're still with us, and certainly hopefully create more love around them and then be able to turn to that love and that time, you know, which is very devastating. So thank you for sharing all about that and for being here with me today talking about this. We do have a couple of email questions. You okay to answer?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So let's see how many we can get in today. First, we've got Luke from New York says, my wife and I are having a hard time choosing where to go spiritually. She was raised in a faith that is very different from mine. I was raised without a lot of religion, but have become very spiritual. I meditate. I believe what was shared about, you know, some of the oneness is what's written here. I'm not sure how my wife and I can come together on this. It didn't seem to be an issue until our first child was born, our first daughter was born. How can we move forward together?
Okay, that's a good question, and I think a lot of people do go through that and have that experience. First of all, I think it's important that you be true to yourself and that you, Luke, you be true to your faith, be true to your own spirituality, especially if it's meaningful for you, if it's fulfilling for you. And then, you know, as your partner, if she becomes interested in spirituality, you know, then, you know, she may have her own journey and her own path. It's important for you to respect hers as well and let hers develop. I think for people who have two different spiritualities, you can really learn from each other, for one.
Most definitely.
And when there's children involved, because it seemed that you had a little focus there on your child, and I just want to say that the best spiritual expression you can be for your child is to just, whatever your spirituality is, just accept it in each other. Be accepting, be loving. You know, as you give you're modeling for your children what the essence of spirituality is when you love each other, when you accept each other for everything, really, not just your spirituality, but for who you are. And what a beautiful message to your child. You're modeling for them something that some people never learn in life. And people, you know, I didn't say this before, but it's my belief that everybody wants to love and everybody wants to be loved. And so as you're modeling love for your child, you're giving your child a beautiful gift. That's the greatest spirituality you can offer.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And I know you've told this story before. There was a story you told, I can't remember when, about a Catholic girl who became Protestant. I know you've shared
that
before.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me that. There was a young woman who left her Catholic faith and in her journey became a Protestant. And her relationship with her father, you know, they did have a very close relationship. They did a lot of things together, including go to church and all of that. But one of the things that was significant for her dad was he loved baseball. And so he loved it when she would sit down with him, have a beer, watch a baseball game. So when she changed her faith, she became just a little more conservative in how she did things. And so she would go and visit her dad, and she would no longer watch the games with him and more try to talk to him about her faith and her beliefs, wouldn't drink beer or alcohol anymore. So she was really having trouble with this because her dad was really saddened by this, and she was too to some degree. So she went to talk to her pastor, who in my opinion was a very wise person. And the pastor said, she explained the story, and the pastor said to her, well, next time you go home to be with your dad, try not to be a Christian, but be Christ. And the message there was, you know, Jesus just accepted people. He just loved them. He accepted them as they are. Just go home, love your dad, be with your dad the way, you know, he really enjoys you being with him. So she did that. She went home and they watched a baseball game and they had a beer, and it just rekindled their relationship. You know, and then she got it, that's the essence of what relationships are about and what spirituality is about. Yeah. You know, it's about being with people. It's about accepting and loving people, you know. And this was, you know, just going back to Jesus for a second, that was his whole ministry, which is being with people, accepting people and loving people.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful story, and I know we've talked about it before, which is why I wanted you to share, and hopefully that helps Luke and that question too. So we have time for one more question, I believe. Rachel from Illinois says, thank you, Rick, so much for sharing. I lost my husband when I was in my 30s and had two young kids to raise by myself. I was devastated and didn't know how I would move on. I did do some of the things that you suggested with community and found that I had so much love around me through friends and family, and I was shocked at how kind and loving people were. It didn't stop the hurting, but it did make it a little bit easier. And I'm Jewish and my rabbi was helpful. There was an outpouring of support and love for my Jewish community that I never knew I had. I'm now remarried and got that life can go on. So thank you for sharing what you did. I did feel guilty for a while that I got remarried, but this really helped me understand that not moving on and not continuing to have love in my life would have hurt me and my kids even more. So thank you. That's great. That's great feedback.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
So we're going to be wrapping up in a minute, but is there anything else that you wanted to briefly share?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I'm just going to comment a little bit on that last email.
Sure.
And that, you know, that's the other side of the coin, because, you know, in her realizing that, you know, she still can have love in her life and move on, and, you know, kind of not letting her guilt hold her back, like, that was a way of loving herself.
Mm.
And, you know, as we were, you know, this whole thing of getting back to the essence of loving God and loving your neighbor, the second part of that is so important. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you have to love yourself too. That's very key and very important. It sounds like she did that, and that's wonderful.
Definitely. And I love that you got a beautiful compliment. So thank you. So from the spiritual point of view, I know you're a big Beatles fan. So, you know, and I know you listen to the Beatles. So I know you like to sum it up using a Beatles song. So how would you sum that
up?
Well,
I think the one here is obvious. It's like, all you need is love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All you need is love.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to thank you so much for joining me and sharing your expertise, and certainly being my husband, and supporting me and loving me as you do. Let's talk about where people can contact you for spiritual coaching and relationship coaching. Certainly where they can contact me too is our joint website, www.consciousoulmates.com. Yeah, that sounds familiar because it is our website together. And if you feel so moved to reach out to Rick in particular, you can certainly find him through the Conscious Soulmates website. And now, of course, I'm going to give you ways to contact me too. You can go to that same website, and you could also find me on Facebook at Susan Ortolano, Relationship Coach and Clairvoyant. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. You can listen to the replay of this show if it's something you want to listen to again, or if you're working and you are listening to the replay. We certainly have it available on voiceamerica.com. There are a lot of links that you can go to, and you can listen to it on iTunes as well, on the go. Download the app, which I think is very, very cool. So thank you so much again to my amazing husband of just about 13 years for joining us today. And from my heart to everybody who's listening and being part of this experience, I so appreciate it, and I wish you megatons of love in your life. That's our show for today. Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning in this week. Please join Susan Ortolano for another edition of Conscious Soulmates, next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. May this week find you lucky in love.